morning, and I'm Chastity Jones. Thank you, God, for the gift of spiritual mentors, for their steady love and faith passed down through generations. 2 Timothy 1:5. Help us treasure their wisdom and honor their lives through how we live. Welcome to worship, one and all, no matter where you are in your faith journey. We extend a special welcome to those of you who worship with us through our radio broadcast on KCHK Radio, and to tell all who join us online through our website, zionlysewer.com. We welcome your comments, contributions, and prayer requests. Today's radio broadcast and bulletins are sponsored by Zion members. Thank you to everyone who supports these ministries. The sermon this morning is titled Keep the Change by Pastor Jan. This morning we are honoring the members of Zion who have reached the age of 90 and older. Please mark this date on the calendar and plan to join the members of Zion in worship. There will be a special social hour following the worship service, along with a picture to be taken of the members 90 plus. We had a great turnout for our church directory photos. If you were unable to attend and would still like to be a part of the new directory, please email a photo to zioninfo@zionlysewer.com as soon as possible. The Zion Bell and Adult Choirs are recruiting members to join the fun. If you are interested, join us at rehearsals beginning on Wednesday, Bell Choir at 5:30 and the Chancel Choir at 6:30. The Music and Worship Committee will meet at 10 a.m. on Wednesday, September 17th. On Sunday, September 21st, during the worship service, we will witness the confirmation of Callie Kale, Chloe Kale, Macy Sullivan, Riley Sullivan, and Elena Thelman, who have prayerfully prepared to affirm their baptismal vows and embrace a life rooted in Christ. Please join in worship with us to help celebrate their dedication. Your financial support of the radio broadcast in any amount helps keep the worship services available to those who are unable to attend in person. Now let us join in worship.
James chapter 1, verses 5 through 7. A prayer for wisdom. Father, we have gathered as a people who need wisdom. What should we do about our spouses and our kids, about our neighbors and ourselves? How should we live in a world so demanding? In yet another season of endless entertainment and limited compassion, what should we stop? What should we keep doing? Why are we still so tempted by our sin? Father, we need faith to believe you without doubting. Please give us courage to act on what we see when we look into your word. Amen.
Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Welcome to this hour of worship. Will you please join with me now in our call to worship? We gather together as the people of God,
with hopes, dreams, and visions.
As the body of Christ, we honor the gifts of all. Guided by the Spirit, we minister together, young and old alike. Let our worship be only the beginning of what is yet to come. Will you please stand now as we join together in our opening hymn, number 25 in your hymn book, O God, Our Help in Ages Past.
Oh, God, our help in ages past.
The congregation may be seated.
Good morning. So this morning we're here to honor all of our members who have reached the age of 90 plus. And I'd also like to announce before I say the names that anybody that's here this morning, we'd like to get a picture of all of you before we serve the cake and ice cream. So members of our congregation are Clarence Dino, Darlene Hale, Elaine Neusmeyer, Joan Reinhardt, Donald Schwartz, Mary Jane Voss, Lyle Wagner, Carol Woodruff, Roger Grimmelman, Herb Krentz, Arlene Bussey, and Joanne Martins.
Life is short, so stay alert, be prepared, light the lamps, get ready.
Listen for the knock, answer the call, serve where you're sent.
Life is short,
so do what you love to do and give it your best.
Life is short, so go to church and worship.
Stay awake and sing.
Life is short. Life is short, so listen to the people you love.
Tell them how much they mean to you.
Life is short, so forgive.
Look past the faults of others, just as you hope they will do for you.
Life is short, so surround yourself with gracious people.
Hug your friends, show your gratitude.
Life is short, so embrace the possibilities. Life is short,
so celebrate God's eternity, for nothing shall separate us from the love of God in Jesus Christ our Lord.
Let us pray. Lord of life, beyond all time, yet always near to those who love you, we come before you with gratitude for the gift of life and the strength you've granted these, our sisters and brothers in Christ. As the years have passed, they have served you in true faith, and because of their service, our roots hold firm. We ask your blessing on each of them, that you will continue to fill them with your Holy Spirit, that they may enjoy vitality, hope, and true peace through the grace of Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you, together with the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Congregation, will you please rise now as we join together in hymn number 423.
See you.
as we prepare to greet one another, I'd like to introduce to you, to those of you who have not yet met him, Taven Lombard. Taven, can I embarrass you and ask you to raise your hand, please? Taven Lombard is the new accompanist for the adult choir and for the children's choir. We are so grateful to welcome him here to Zion into our church family. I hope you'll take a moment as you're greeting our 90-plus folks to greet one of our younger folks here, Taven Lombard. Taven, glad to have you here. Now I invite you all as God's own forgiven people to greet one another with the peace of Christ. The peace of the Lord be with you always. And we welcome all children of God up here in front with us. But today we have Owen and Ellie. And if there are any other children that might like to come up, even those who are children at heart, I invite you to come up and join us. Well, here comes Jeff. So, too bad. There's Alice. Hello. Today we're talking about prayer. And you probably remember from Fusion the prayer that we talked about the church. Do you remember that? How we fold our hands together like this. Owen, you got it? Okay, we're going to build a church here. Put your knuckles together like this. Way to go, Ellie. You remembered. Yeah, there we go. Okay, so let's say it together in a big, loud voice. Cover up, Pastor Jan. Here is the church. Here is the steeple. Open the doors and see all the people. Close the doors and hear them pray. Open the doors and they all walk away to serve God, right? You remembered the whole thing. I'm so proud of you. You know,
there's a lot to say about prayer, but one of the things we do at Fusion every week is we do a lot of praying together, and I just love that. We have some people in our group, and the students, that actually pray out loud for everybody, and it's just a thrill to hear that. But sometimes we don't know what to pray about, right? You ever have that happen? That even happens to Pastor Jan sometimes. There's so many things going on. We sometimes forget, well, which one should I pray for first? So you can use your hand to be a reminder. How many fingers do I have here?
Five.
Five, good. Okay, everybody here got five fingers? Okay, let's wiggle them like that. So on this first finger, on the pointer finger, we remember to pray for others. So we could take our pointer finger and just look out on the congregation and pray for everybody there. And then this finger here is the tallest of them. So we remember to pray for our leaders, like maybe our principal at school, our teachers, maybe your parents or your grandparents. And today's Grandparents' Day, so let's not forget to pray for them. And then this prayer, sometimes we call it the ring finger. You see that finger right there? This finger is the weakest one of all. This is the finger that reminds us of people who need protection, who need care, maybe people who are sick. Can you think of anyone or anything that reminds you of somebody that needs protection? Who needs protection? Yeah. Oh. Yeah. Owen, I so love that. You're praying for your sister. We're praying for people who are younger than us. Maybe, yep, okay, oh, you're back. I paid Owen to say these things. So you're earning your keep. Good morning. So glad to have you up here with us. We're praying up here. And so this last one here, is this a big finger?
Pinky.
No, it's the pinky, right. It's the smallest one of all. And we want to remember to pray for small things. Who is small in your world? Can you think of somebody that's small or some of the small things that maybe we take for granted sometimes?
We just got a small puppy.
You got a small puppy? Congratulations. Does your puppy have a name? What did you name your puppy? Yeah. Oh, that's a very sweet name. Well, I'm so glad you came up here because we have yet another thing to celebrate today.
This is Creed.
Okay, thank you. What about baby chicks? Do baby chicks need protection? Yeah. Are they the little things on your farm? Okay, right. And sometimes toys are little too. We can be thankful for the toys, little toys that we get. Sometimes the big ones too, right, Alice? Yeah. Okay, so we have all those, but we forgot one here. Which one did we forget? The thumb, that's right. And this one, you can point it back to yourself. God also wants us to pray for ourselves. Sometimes we need that extra strength that only God can give us. And so if you ever forget how to pray or what to pray about, use your hand, hold up your fingers, and that'll remind you of all the people and all the things in God's creation that we're to pray about. Let's pray. God, we thank you for all the ways that you bless us with our families and friends, with small things to celebrate and love and protect. We pray for our leaders, our teachers, our parents and grandparents, and all our family members. Help us, God, to remember that we can always go to you in prayer. Through Jesus. Amen. Well, thanks for coming up for the surprise children's sermon this morning. I'll have something in back when the service is over, okay? All right. We continue in worship now with a time of prayer. Let's begin in the silent meditations of our own hearts.
Gracious God, we come to you in all our prayers for the church, for this world, and all those who are in need. We thank you, Lord, for the joys that are ours because we belong to a community of faith, for the faces of our friends and family gathered here in worship, for the joys that are on their hearts this day. Happy birthday, we say to Dan today. Dan Brown, our beloved council member, is enjoying his birthday this day, and we ask your blessing this day on all those who celebrate anniversaries and happy occasions. Empower us, Lord, to remember those who are in joy and those who are in sorrow. We pray for those who are in need of your healing touch. We pray that you'll bring comfort, healing, and peace to all those who are sick, those who are grieving, or those who are in pain. We remember the family and friends of Maya Moss. We remember in prayer Sherman Denzer recovering from his surgery. And we're thankful, God, especially this morning, that John Lave has returned to us here at worship. And we ask your blessing as he transitions temporarily to Oak Terrace. For all our 90-plus members, for all the ways that they have shouldered the burdens and joys of this church throughout their lifetime, gracious God, we're thankful. Continue, Lord, to bind us together as a community of faith, forgiveness, and love. We ask from you a supply of humility, patience, and courage. And we ask, gracious God, that you help us to remember those who have departed from this life. All of this, God, we ask in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, in the hope of our resurrection unto eternal life. Receive our prayers in the name of him who taught his disciples to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Morning. The scripture this morning is Psalm 71, verses 1 through 9 and 14. In you, O Lord, I take refuge. Let me never be put to shame. In your righteousness, deliver me and rescue me. Incline your ear to me and save me. Be to me a rock of refuge, a strong fortress to save me. For you are my rock and my fortress. Rescue me, O my God, from the hand of the wicked, from the grasp of the unjust and cruel. For you, O Lord, are my hope, my trust, O Lord, from my youth. From my birth I have leaned upon you, my protector since my mother's womb. My praise is continually to you. May praise. I have been like a portent to many, but you are my strong refuge. My mouth is filled with your praise and with your glory all day long. Do not cast me off in the time in my old age. Do not forsake me when my strength is spent, but I will hope continually and will pray you yet more and more. May God add a blessing to the reading and hearing of the word.
Amen. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke, the 11th chapter. Jesus was praying in a certain place, and after he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples." So Jesus said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, may your name be revered as holy. May your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone indebted to us. And do not bring us to the time of trial." And he said to them, "Suppose one of you has a friend, and you go to him at midnight and say to him, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, for a friend of mine has arrived, and I have nothing to set before him.' And he answers from within, 'Do not bother me. The door has already been locked, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything.' I tell you, even though he will not get up and give him anything out of friendship, at least because of his persistence, he will get up and give him whatever he needs. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Search, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened for you. For everyone who asks receives, and everyone who searches finds. And for everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. Is there anyone among you, if your child asked for a fish, would give a snake instead of a fish? Or if the child asked for an egg, would give a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" This is the word of God for the people of God. Amen. Thanks be to God. Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditations upon all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Walking through the church parlor one day with my mom at the church where I grew up, I happened to catch sight of a little plaque on the wall. Prayer changes things. And seeing that simple wisdom there on the wall struck a chord with that 8-year-old me. What, I wondered, would be possible if I just prayed hard enough? Would my teacher maybe make a new seating chart for the class and move me away from that boy who always borrowed my crayons and broke them? But a more serious prayer. If I prayed really well, would my mother stop drinking? If prayer really did change things, that would almost be like a superpower, I reasoned, and that saying stuck with me for years. Prayer changes things. I never stopped believing that. In fact, I still believe that to this very day. But by the time I was in middle school, the power to pray, to be honest, became more like one of those emergency flares you put in your car, or a battery backup. Algebra test? Pray. Your grandfather's dying in the hospital? Pray. Mom and dad fighting again? Pray harder. Pray longer. And as I've grown up in my faith, I've learned prayer truly does change things, but it doesn't mean we always like the change that comes our way, do we? We're usually not too crazy about God's timing either. We might be like Abraham and Sarah or Hannah, who waited years for God to answer their prayers. I hope some of you will remember the name of Jack Welch. He was the controversial CEO of General Electric for about 20 years. And he became famous for his business philosophy. not always well-liked either. One of his best-known sayings has survived him. He said, change before you have to. Change before you have to. In other words, it's better to accept change before it's forced upon you. And nowhere was that saying more true than for a celebrity polar bear back in the 1980s, Susha. Back in the 80s, the Denver Zoo decided to add a polar bear exhibit to its sprawling outdoor complex. It was beautiful. And the zoo officials wanted to give the impression of the bear in its natural environment. So they took a great deal of time and trouble and money to design it. They engaged the help of zoologists and engineers to collaborate on the state-of-the-art exhibit. It was going to be beautiful. And after months of work, the zoo was getting ready for a big ceremony on opening day, a ribbon-cutting ceremony. But the zookeepers ran into an unexpected glitch. One day, before the exhibit was even done, the polar bear arrived unexpectedly, and that proved to be a problem. So the zoo officials decided they were going to go ahead and display the bear in the center of the unfinished landscape, and in that way, the workers could continue their work while the public enjoyed just watching the bear. Now, in case you didn't know, polar bears, when they're in captivity, like to pace. And in the confines of that cage, the polar bear went day by day walking back and forth all day long, hour by hour, day after day, week after week. And then, of course, one day the construction was finally completed. They hired a crane to lift the bars of the cage off the platform. And quite a crowd had gathered that day to witness this. As the bear walked to the edge of the platform, everybody expected him to just stop and step off and check out his incredible new home. But instead of stepping off the platform, the polar bear just turned around, flopped down on all fours, and paced to the other side of the cage, walking back and forth in a cage that was no longer there. Some people in the crowd were heard to say, well, what's he waiting for? What's he so afraid of? That's something like the scene today in Luke's gospel, when one of the disciples asked Jesus to teach them how to pray. Change was upon them. Jesus announced the coming of the kingdom, and none of them had even the slightest idea of what that incredible new kingdom would be like and what it would demand of their master. You just read through the Gospel of Luke and you're going to find Jesus at prayer. At every turn of life, Jesus is at prayer. He prays as he senses God's call. He prays as he's choosing the disciples, praying as he serves and heals the multitudes, prays as he feels the demands and pressures of his ministry. He prays in the Garden of Gethsemane. And with his very last breath, Jesus prays as he finishes his work on the cross. He's continually praying. We could say that prayer for Jesus was as vital as taking his next breath. And it was out of his own consistent prayer life that Jesus gives us this teaching we heard today about prayer. The disciples notice that Jesus has been praying all the time, and they finally get a clue about the connection to the kingdom of God and what Jesus is doing among them. Now, as I recall some of the prayers that I've heard through the years, prayers that I've said, prayers that I've read,
conversations that I've had with people about prayer, I sometimes remember that little sign back at my home church. Prayer changes things. It just all seemed so simple back then. And I sometimes wonder how it was that I began to think of prayer more like a Coke machine. And what a Coke machine teaches us wrongly about prayer. You know, we put in the correct change, we make our selection, and we get what we want, right? Responding to Jesus' words, "For everyone who asks, receives. Everyone who searches, finds." So we offer up the coins of our wants and our needs and our hopes and maybe even our good behavior, and we tell God the desires of our hearts, and all of that works just fine until it doesn't. Vending machines are great, aren't they? Until they take your money and you get nothing in return. Just look at how we respond when something like that happens. We might get mad. We might push that button again and again, and we might kick the machine. We might tip it on its side. I have to admit, we did that sometimes when I was growing up. We did our part, so we assumed that something, not us, is broken. And really, it's not so different with prayer. Sometimes, when it appears as though God hasn't answered our prayers, people feel cheated. Sometimes we feel hurt or betrayed, or we lose faith. Sometimes people even leave the church. Sometimes we want to know why we asked and did not receive, why we searched and did not find. We knocked, and the door never even opened a crack. Let's be honest about that, shall we? Because that's not just our story. That's the story of everybody who's ever prayed. It was the story of Job. We've all been, at one point or another, in a cage with bars around it. And then when the bars come off, we're afraid to step off. We've all been the one that lost money in the Coke machine. I must confess to you, I don't know why some prayers seem to go unanswered and why some are actually answered. I don't have any easy answers for that, but I have heard some really bad ones. "Well, you just didn't pray hard enough." Anybody ever hear that one? You don't have to raise your hand. You just didn't pray hard enough. You didn't have enough faith. You were asking for the wrong thing. Everything happens for a reason. Chances are good that you might have heard one of those, maybe not directed at you, but directed toward the suffering of someone else. And I admit, when I hear those kinds of answers and explanations, I think of all the prayers that I've said and heard over the years. And I remember Jesus praying with his words and his sweat and his blood in the Garden of Gethsemane, "Father, if it be possible, take this cup away from me." And every Friday, every Good Friday, we remember that God didn't seem to answer that prayer. But we do remember that that cup that Jesus received from God was drained in full as he was nailed to the cross. I don't understand how prayer works. That's up to God. But I do know this. Our prayers are not like coins. It's not some transaction that we enjoy with God. It's not the transmission of information, because God already knows what we need. So in the midst of our blindness, in the midst of not knowing or really understanding how all this works, the best way we can begin, the answer that we're certainly going to get, is to begin with our Father. Our Father. It's the simplest
And most important part of that prayer, because we need to begin in prayer like a child. Jesus refers to God as Abba, Daddy. Because that's what we really are. Even our 90-plus members today that we honor know that. We pray as children. And maybe we should just stop trying to be so grown up all the time, as if God doesn't already know what our needs are, as if somehow we know best what should happen, as if we want our own kingdom to come. But friends, and I know you already know this, God does know. Even before we open our mouths, even before the words are formed, before we even know what we really need, that relationship with God already exists. Count on that. And I could talk all day about all the various petitions of the Lord's Prayer. We know them by heart. But that beginning part is the foundation for everything else we pray. Before anything else, prayer is about being in the presence of God. And that means that our lives, our neighbors' lives, our enemies' lives, all 8 billion of us on this planet, that gift of life comes from a Father who created us. And as the prophet Hosea said, tenderly takes us by the hand and teaches us to walk. And so in that way, you and I, when it comes to prayer, are always going to be beginners. We're always learning to pray. Before I started here as your pastor a couple of years ago, there was one prayer that was on my heart every single day, and that was, God, teach me to be the kind of pastor that this church really needs. Teach me to be that kind of pastor. More than that, I got you. I got a congregation that I really needed. What a joy it is to be able to share that with you on my third to the last Sunday. Jesus' response to his disciples wasn't an explanation of what prayer meant or how it worked. Jesus didn't offer up some formula or some magical incantation. Jesus never offered us the correct change for the vending machine. Instead, Jesus teaches us about who God is and where God is. And I have come to know God better through all of you. And so if prayer, as Jesus teaches it us, is really all about that relationship and God's presence, then there's only one answer, one real answer to our prayers, and that is God. Guaranteed. Your prayer will be answered by the holy presence of the living God. And I don't just mean answers to prayer, but that God is himself the answer. We pray, and in return, we receive God, God's presence, God's life, and love, and beauty, and grace, and peace. So really, no matter how you pray, no matter what you're praying about, even if you've been praying for years, and some of us have been, God is giving himself as the answer. And in that way, we're shaped more and more into the likeness of Christ himself, who suffered greatly. This isn't just your pastor talking here. That's Jesus himself teaching his disciples. He says, if you know how to give your kids the good things, how much more will your heavenly Father give to you the Holy Spirit? Maybe the greatest difficulty is that sometimes we just want to offer up our coins and push the button and get what we want. Sometimes we don't even necessarily want God.
Sometimes we want something from God, but maybe not God himself. We want God to change our situation. We want God to fix our marriage, to get us an A on a test, to keep the cancer from coming back and spreading, to prevent Alzheimer's from robbing us of our treasured relationships. And please believe me, while I do know that God can and does change our circumstances sometimes through an incredible miracle, I've come to believe that instead, God, more often than not, changes us. God changes us. Because you see, there's a little bit of polar bear in all of us, isn't there? We've all been in cages of loneliness and doubt. We've been in behind the steel bars of arguments in our families, doubts about the future, worries about the economy. And those cages have sometimes been around us for so long that we may no longer even see that there's this marvelous, life-giving source of love and light just as we step off the platform. But we're afraid. And so instead of stepping off into that natural environment of salvation that God has given us, we sometimes just continue to pace back and forth, doing the same old things we've done over and over. But here's the good news. No matter what, no matter how long you've been begging alongside the road, no matter how broken and bruised you've gotten, we're a people whose story says over and over, the cage has been lifted. It's gone. The barriers between you and God are removed. That prayer we've been praying ever since we were old enough to know how to pray, that prayer we call the Lord's Prayer, is actually our prayer. And God, without ever ceasing to be God, allowed his own beloved son to lift those heavy steel bars for us, those bars of suffering and death. You see up there a picture of Susha. That's the polar bear who lived in the Denver Zoo. She died back in 2016, I believe. Before I close today, I want to again honor our 90-plus members. Because as we recognize and celebrate them who've reached that 9-decade marker of life, let's stop and consider the day that they were baptized. Baptized in the presence of men and women who were the sons and daughters of those who founded this church and other churches in our area. Our 90-plus members sat at the feet, literally, of the daughters and sons of pioneers. And they stood in faith for decades. And I want you to think for a moment of those very same people they stood with, that they couldn't imagine all the changes that we've been through as a congregation, that we as individuals have endured. But just look around you this morning. Look at this sanctuary. See it as if for the first time. Look at your fellow members here, young and old. Hear the songs that they sang that echo back through time. The prayers, the very prayers that sustained them, the friendships that held them during times of sorrow and joy. And let's remember those people with deep gratitude for all the changes that they lived through. And let's pray that we ourselves are going to bring about the quality of life that will allow generations after us to keep the change, to keep the joy, the faith, to continue educating our young people and lifting them up to be citizens of this world and citizens of heaven. Keep the change and grow in love. Amen. Will our ushers please come forward now for the morning offering?
Almighty God, giver of every good and perfect gift, teach us to give to you all that we have and all that we are, that we may praise you not with our words only, but with our whole lives. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you in your work, in your play, in happiness and sorrow, in this life and the next. May God be with you. Amen. Our closing hymn, I Love to Tell the Story.